Genesis chapter 18, we're going to go there. I do want to take the Sunday mornings, folks. You realize that, boy, did I do my thinking right, is the election, I think, is at 3 weeks from this Tuesday. Somebody help me on that. 3 weeks or four. 3 weeks from this Tuesday. And so I want to take our Sunday school hour, and I want to do some teaching along the lines of really what I believe the devil is trying to do to our nation. And also, we're going to cover some really solid biblical principles. I'll take at least one Sunday and go back and preach on biblical principles for selecting a national leader. The Bible's not quiet on this. Let me tell you a lie that the devil's tried to propagate. You think about this. I remember my dad, after he got saved, he came to the first family reunion after he got saved, and he started trying to witness to his lost brothers and sisters. And you know what one of the brothers said? You know what came out of his mouth immediately? There's two things. Think about this. There's two things you should never talk about. How many of you have ever heard that? There's two things you should never talk about. Now think about that. There's people that say that, and then Christians get quiet. I'd love to see the verse that that's based on. Matter of fact, I can show you the exact opposite verses about that. But we say something so many times, the next thing you know, we just kind of start saying, you know, because everybody's, wonder who started that lie. Didn't Jesus say, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? And here's the lie. There's two things you should never talk about, politics and religion. Well, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about politics. Matter of fact, I would dare you to find a major Bible character that wasn't involved in some arena of politics. Come on. I mean, just about name them. Yeah, Daniel never had a thing to do with politics. No, Joseph never had a thing to do with politics. No, Moses didn't go to the leader of a nation and confront a wicked king. Come on, we say these silly things, and then we don't even study our Bible and realize, you know, John the Baptist, he didn't meddle in politics. Oh, yes, he did. He called out the sins of the national leader, regional leader there. So, folks, listen to me. Be careful where you're buying into these false premises just because, well, Grandma said it, Mom said it. Well, Grandma and Mom might have been wrong. Hey, let God be true and every man a liar. And we live in a strange time where people think if they have an opinion that's opposite of the Bible, then what we ought to do is just turn our back on the Bible and listen to their opinion. Well, excuse me, but I think what we better do is take our opinion and see if it squares up with the Bible. And if it doesn't, I think we ought to change our opinion. Amen. And so that's one of the dangers of this. Another lie that's been told and propagated, and I think the world has used it to try to convince, especially Christians, you know, that's this whole matter of separation of church and state and all this threats against the church, you know, that we can't dare utter an opinion. Preachers can't say anything from the pulpit. Folks, that is not true at all. But that's what the liberal left would want you to believe. They use their pulpits, by the way. And so, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to holler out about some things and show you biblical principles. I believe in just teaching the Bible. If we teach biblical principle, it'll guide us in our voting. It'll guide us in being able to discern lies from the truth. It'll help us to keep our nation going in a positive direction. But I do want to talk to you about one of the first instances in the Bible where I see the Lord ready to judge. And you know what? Thank God for Brother Abraham. Let's read the story and we'll get into the Bible principles this morning. Genesis chapter 18, if you will, and look, if you will, in verse number 16. Genesis 18, verse number 16. The Bible says, and the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring him on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide this from Abraham, that thing which I do? And interesting, the Lord said that. Think about this. The Lord is about to bring judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. But here's the question he asked. He says, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Now think about that. Seeing, what's the reasoning? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations there shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. So one of the reasons that the Lord revealed some things to Abraham that he didn't other people is because of the way he was raising his children, the way that the godly life, he keeps the way of the Lord. He does justice and judgment. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord will reveal some things to spiritually minded Christians that carnally minded Christians will never discern and never understand. And so let's go on. Verse 20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is coming to me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Now look, if you will, in verse 23. Stay with the story now. And Abraham drew near and said, here's the question. Think about the words of Abraham, folks. These are bold words. These are courageous words. Think about it. Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That it be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Wow. Wow. That is strong intercessory prayer. Now let's see what the Lord does, his reaction to that, okay? Verse 26, and the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. So there's no rebuke. Some of us may have read those previous verses and say, whoa, wait a minute. Abraham, did you just cross some lines? I mean, that's, wow. You stood before God and challenged his character. Think about that. Hey, God doesn't mind his character being challenged because you know what? He stands by his character. You know, don't be disrespectful with God. But you know what? You can approach God on the basis of his character. When you pray, you can bring your request and base them on the character of God. Think about that. Verse 27, and Abraham answered and said, behold, now I've taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, but which am but dust and ashes. By the way, God saw, even in those first words, God saw the underlying humility of Abraham. I don't want you to misinterpret what he said, even though those were strong words. Isn't it interesting that Abraham reaffirms to God, I know who you are, and I know who I am. I know what you are. I know what I am. But you know what? He still stays bold in his intercession. Verse 28, peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Will thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? He said, if I destroy there 40 and 5 will not, if I find there 40 and 5 will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. This portion of scripture is just fascinating to me, folks. Look at verse 30. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak peradventure. There shall 30 be found. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communion with Abraham, and Abraham returned into his place. Heavenly Father, we need your help today, Lord. We want to rightly divide the Bible. Oh, Lord, we need intercessory prayer right now. America needs intercessory prayer. We need folks, Christians, with the boldness of Abraham to go before your presence, Lord, not disrespectfully, Lord, not speaking down to you, but with a humble heart, understanding, Lord, how much we need your mercy and grace and how badly you want to give it. So, Lord, we're going to learn some lessons about you, and Lord, also learn some lessons about ourselves. So, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'll help us. 3 weeks, dear Lord, from a very, very important election in our country, dear God. And Lord, I believe it's one of those times that as a nation's history is examined, Lord, in eternity, there's going to be those crossroad times, crossroad moments. Lord, help us to do right as Christians. Help us to get your mind, dear God. Lord, we pray for our nation. It's Lord, it's in turmoil today. And dear God, the sin, Lord, that has overtaken so much of our nation now, Lord, we're very much seeing the consequences of those sins. So help us, Lord, as we study the Bible together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks. And let's get into the lesson today. The devil's plan to destroy a nation. Or, as Christians, what can we do to help save our country? I want to just give you some good Bible principles. Look again at verse number 20. Number one, God will not forever ignore the sins of a nation. Folks, we talk about the character of God. This is something we better learn about the Lord. Look at verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is, look at that next word, great. And because their sin is, look at that, very grievous. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know it. Now, folks, what we're seeing a lot in our country is that judgment is beginning to come. You know what? The sins of our nation have continued to grow and continued to grow. They've gotten louder and louder. And you know what? God is hearing it more and more. You know, we talk about the things that God can hear that we cannot hear. And we think about the crying of the blood from the ground, the blood of the innocent. I mean, study it out, folks, all the way from the first murder in the Bible. God talked about Abel's innocent blood crying to God for justice. The cry of the blood of Abel, an innocent man, was slain. And folks, and yet we are in the midst of watching well over 61 million now since 1973 unborn babies that have been slaughtered. I don't know what the cries of 61 million babies, the blood of 61 million babies sounds in the ears of the Lord. But I think it's getting God's attention, folks. The very sin here the Bible talks about that is reaching the ears of God from Sodom and Gomorrah, the major sin, the most specific sin as we read on into the story, is the sin of the Sodomites, the sin of homosexuality. And I think of the sin and the cries of the sin as we have watched a nation begin to not only, folks, fail to condemn this sin, but embrace this sin, legalize this sin, promote this sin. Hey, God is not going to forever ignore the cries of the sins of America. And so one of the things we need to understand, folks, is right now, one of the reasons we have to and we need every Christian to take that position of Abraham and begin in intercessory prayer is because we have given, think about this, we have given God every reason to judge. America is living on borrowed time. Yes, sir. I believe what we're praying for, folks, and I'm going to talk about this, is just another space of grace. Because America is going to either turn and get some of these things fixed and right, or we're going to suffer the same consequences that Sodom and Gomorrah suffered. Right. You know, one man said this, you know, if God doesn't judge America at some point, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, folks, let me just say this. When I talk about the crossroads, when I talk about the potential of America turning back from some of these sins, don't give up hope of that. You know, why is there such a, and I mean, you talk about a vicious and ferocious battle over this vacant Supreme Court seat. Why in the world is this going to play out? You talk about a spiritual warfare and a bloodbath before this is over, folks. I mean, there's a segment of sinful America. I'm talking about demonically possessed leadership. And I'm not overstating that. That would do almost anything to keep the right to keep killing babies, to fight to protect the Sodomite lifestyle. I mean, brother, we're in a pitched battle over this thing. And there are already encouraging stories being floated. Read what Clarence Thomas put out in the last couple of weeks. There's already stories being floated and preparing the people that if the right person is put in the office, there could be a revisiting of Roe versus Wade. Folks, listen to me. For over 40 years, I've begged God to turn this abortion issue. I've crawled amongst white crosses year after year and put my hand on them and begged God to forgive us of our sin and begged God to allow us to turn this. And this is for the first time in my lifetime where I feel like there may be a ray of hope, but don't think the devil's going to set still for it. And the demonically possessed hordes are going to set. And there was something Clarence Sexton published just about, I think, a week or two ago. I lose track of time. But he's already setting the stage for this idea that it was an absolute unconstitutional decision to legalize sodomite marriages. And he wrote an article stating how we stepped outside of, the Supreme Court stepped outside of their constitutional responsibilities. And what's he doing? He's sending a message. He's saying, get us the right people in here. We can turn this thing. And so we better turn it. Whatever the price is, we better turn it, because the alternative is that God is at some point going to have to step in and deal with the United States of America. I stand, by the way, and I agree with what Brother Gomez said last week when he talked about finding America in prophecy. And I know there's differing opinions on that, and I've listened to the messages, and I've done the same studies, and I don't believe that the Bible supports the presence of America in end times. Well, something's going to happen at some point. And so, number one, let's be reminded of this. God will not forever ignore the sins of a nation. I want to move on. I want to cover a lot of things. Number two, God reveals his decree of judgment to godly men. God reveals his decree of judgment in advance to godly men. The Lord said, verse 17, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And I know that one of the reasons he didn't withhold from Abraham was the fact that he was going to be the father of the faithful, the father of the children of Israel. But listen, it just doesn't end there. For I know him that he will command his children, his household after him, and shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And folks, Abraham at this time was not the leader of a great nation. He was just a common man. But he is a called man. By the way, let me say this. He was a clean man. And you know what? He wasn't just living it out, not teaching it to his children. He was beginning to prepare a godly heritage that would go forward, worshiping God and standing for God and living in righteousness and living by faith. I'm going to tell you something. I don't think it's just preachers. I talk to both preachers. I like to talk to preachers about these things. I like to see what God's revealing to them. But you know what? You can stop and talk to godly men, and I've done it in many churches in the last month. Just strike up conversation with men, laymen in the church that are walking with God, that are raising their family right. And you know what everybody's saying? They're all saying the same thing. They're all saying, hey, preacher, the Lord's coming back soon. Hey, preacher, the signs of the time. Hey, preacher, I never could understand how this could happen, but now it's so clear, it's so plain. You know, I didn't understand this part of Revelation. I didn't understand how the Antichrist was going to be able to pull this off. But good night. We had a front row seat in the last 6 months to watch how all of the book of Revelation could unfold in furious fashion. I mean, quickly, folks, in a matter of months, there could be a gaining of control. I think I said this once before, but let me just float this idea to you. And I want you to just think about it. Okay, I want you to think about what we just went through. I want you to think about it for what I believe it is. No matter how you feel or don't feel about COVID-19 or whatever and some of the decisions that were made or wasn't made, you can't deny that if you look at that thing, it definitely was a precursor to prepare America to be willing to accept some things we've never been willing to accept before. I don't care what your opinion about this particular thing is. I think you have to look, step back, take a look back, and go, wait a minute. Right. I had a conversation with Josh Poole. Even though he called and talked to me about what he was going to have to do and the situation in their church and all of that, you know, we got to talking. You know what? Just normally and naturally, we begin to talk about end time things. It's like any preacher I talk to, I mean, within 2 or 3 minutes, the conversation's going this way. And he was telling me, saying, preacher, he said, I watched Americans and I watched Christians and I watched, you know, he said, even I have to go back and look again at my decision-making process. And he said, you know, I know we didn't understand it and this came from left field, but now in hindsight, we've got to take a look at this. We've got to be careful in the future because the devil's so good at what he does. And we've got to, you know, and he was talking about this stuff. And I said, and we were talking about how, you know, Americans, you know, we the sheeple, okay, the Americans, come on, we the sheeple, Americans with just, you know, are willing to, listen, folks, not with the passing of a law, but just with the mandate of a single individual, an executive order in a state. Now, come on, think about it, okay, in the end times, The Antichrist, he's going to be a dictatorship, okay? All right? And there's not going to be a balance of power in his regime, okay? But I told him, I said, okay, I want you to, I'll throw this out to you, and I may have said it. I want you to think about, okay, even those of us that pushed back and even those of us that said, wait, whoa, you're crossing constitutional lines and We're certainly not, we cannot, will not do these things as Americans. Even those of us that were pushed back on it and the areas we pushed back on it, I told him this. I said, Brother Josh, I want you to think. Let's suppose 2 years from now or a year from now, there's something else that's unleashed upon America. Only now it's not the elderly who are the highest risk group, but the highest risk group all of a sudden becomes the children. And just as the elderly were dying from this, all of a sudden it's children that are dying. I said, I'm going to tell you something. The best folks in me and your churches will, because our children, come on, think about it. Well, next thing you know, could be standing up saying, yeah, we all need chips. This has to be controlled. I mean, we're trying to save the children. You better think about it. Because you tweak this situation just a little bit and you'll watch people give up every freedom they ever had. And listen, I understand it. I understand it. Can't take questions. I understand it, but I'm not agreeing with it. Because we still have to stand for truth. Now listen, there is going to be, think about this, in order to get people to take a mark in their hands or in their forehead, there has to be an extreme situation that would cause even good people to, and by the way, not only that, what would cause good people to look at those who refuse to do it as a absolute imminent danger to society, that these people need to be corralled, they need to be captured, they need to be, yes, sir, that's what the Bible says, that's where it's going to lead. Okay, now I'm just saying, take a look at it, all right? Take a step back, but listen to me. Well, I mean, I got a little bit away from the point, but I think I'm not. God reveals his decree of judgment to godly men. Listen, there's a reason. I don't care. I could bring in 25 different preachers. I could just handpick them from around the country and invite them to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and they're parroting the same things your preacher's saying. And they're saying, listen, because why? Because God gives to his leaders, spiritual leaders, some discernment and I think a way to see. Listen, not everyone's a watchman on the wall, but there are watchmen on the wall. Okay, and while everybody else is consumed with their daily business, some of us have to look past what's going on now and see where it's leading us to. And sometimes when we lift up our voice like a trumpet, people think we're being extreme, but we're not. America's being set up right now for a takeover, okay? That's going to happen, and I know it's going to happen because the Bible predicts it. I mean, it's not going to be everybody accepts the rule of one-world government and accepts the leadership of the Antichrist, except the United States of America. It's going to be everybody. And the ones that don't, Listen, folks, they're going to be hunted down. They're going to be executed. They're going to be, I mean, they're going to be the offscouring of the earth. And so think about some of those possibilities, okay? So listen to men of God right now. Listen to, sometimes when you hear a preacher and you think, well, I don't know if I'd go that far, that's kind of, would you just take a step back and at least listen and consider? Would you stop worrying about your viewpoint right now based on what only you can see? And would you listen, lift up your eyes, and understand through the telescope of prophecy that we can see some things that we are being led towards? So be very careful, folks. Number three, God was willing to listen. This is a blessing. This is one of the greatest points I'm going to teach this morning. God was willing to listen to the intercessions of Abraham. Think about this. And I made some comments, so I'll not linger here. But it's interesting listening to the words of Abraham. Verse 23, by the way, don't let that first phrase run by you. Look at verse 23. And Abraham did what? Drew near. Okay, folks, if there's ever a time, I sent a text to a young man in our church, and I said, listen to me, 2021, I'm going to need some things from you. I need some things from you. I need you to do some things. But you can't do them where you're at now. Between now and the beginning of the year, you have to draw nigh unto God. Folks, listen, I could say that to our entire congregation. I believe 2021 needs to be a banner year at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm not going to take the cautious tiptoeing approach. If we really believe these are the end times, then it is not time to do less. It's time to do more than we've ever done before. And that means we're going to push the envelope. That means we're going to be more aggressive, not less. You know, I'm hearing preachers just say, well, I had a guy tell me, well, I haven't even planned anything for 2021. I just want to see how their election, what kind of America we are. We on the defensive? Come on. You know, oh, well, let's just see, and then let's let the world situation dictate to the church what we can do and what. Good night. Whatever happened to the gates of hell will not prevail against us. But you know what? One of the reasons, the only way we can do this, you better be like Abraham right now. Listen, I'm begging you, between now and the beginning of this year, you need to get as close to God as you've ever gotten in your life. Come on, no more playing around with secret sins, folks. Time to get rid of that junk, okay? No more skipping your Bible reading days. No more of this prayerlessness. Come on, enough with the compromise, okay, where you got a foot in the world and a foot in the church, and you can't decide which one you like the best. I mean, that is not the brand of Christianity, the type of Christianity that's ready to face the end times. Okay, I'm sorry, but if you're double-minded, you're going to be standing there like a deer in the headlights, and you're going to get run over. You're going to be roadkill in the middle of this thing. It's time to make up your mind about some things. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Okay, so this is time to make up your mind. So we see Abraham. Well, there's so much in this. He draws near. And you know what? If you want God to listen to you, you need to draw near. He didn't say, hey, God, come over here. He went towards God. And because he drew near to God, God was willing to listen to what he had to say. He said this, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And again, I know this sounds courageous. Some would say borderline disrespectful, but I think we saw the spirit of Abraham revealed in the rest of the prayer. Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Be that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall that, wow, this is amazing. Here's a question. Shall the judge of all the earth do right? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Wow. Now, like I said, folks, let me tell you something. You can approach God on the basis of his character. I can say, Lord, you are a holy God. And based on his holiness, I can approach him in that vein. I can say this, God, you are a merciful God. And I remind him of that when I'm going to come and ask for some mercy for me or for somebody else. Okay? I say, Lord, you're a righteous God. And when I'm going to intercede for our nation, I'm going to intercede based on, hey, you know what? We all haven't caved in yet. Okay, and that's what he's saying. He's saying, Lord, there's a remnant here. Okay, I know you're angry with Sodom and Gomorrah, but if there's a remnant that could be found, Lord. And so we see that God is willing to listen to intercession. I kind of said kiddingly, I could rename this, the devil's plan to destroy a nation. Let me tell you how the devil is going to destroy this nation if he destroys it. He's going to eliminate the Abrahams. There's just not going to be enough people that are willing to draw nigh to God. Because when you get close to God all of a sudden, buddy, let me tell you something. You get that close to holiness and all this junk in your life you're making excuses for, but the light shines too bright to pretend it's not what it is. And so, you know what? We don't draw nigh to God because we're hiding too much. It's too much between us and God. But you know what? If you're willing to draw nigh to God and you're willing to stand and intercede before God, we need righteous men, listen to me, and righteous women who will go before the Lord and plead for a nation. Right. Appeal to the character of God. Appeal to the mercy of God. Appeal to the righteousness of God. And so God was willing. This is good news, folks. This is our hope. This is our only hope, is that God is willing to listen to intercessory prayer for America. Well, we've got to do it. We've got to pray the prayer. We got to spend the time. We've got to get on our knees again. Okay? And so, boy, you're talking about 3 weeks till election. You know what time it is, folks? It's praying time. That's what it is. It's praying time. Okay, let's move on. Number four, Abraham based his argument for mercy instead of judgment on just one premise. This is the premise that he approached the Lord with. The possible presence of a righteous remnant. Now, folks, that's the only argument he had. Can I say this? I look around at America today, that's the only argument I have. Amen. That I can bring before God right now. I can't go to him and say, well, Lord, you know, I know you're mad about the abortion, but let me explain why people are doing it. No, you can't go to God and try to justify any of the wickedness. That's not going to work. Okay? You know, God's not falling for that. God's a holy God. God's a righteous God. You know, he's not giving. He's not compromising. Now, he was willing to negotiate with Abraham, but he's not going to negotiate over sin. He was willing to negotiate on the percentage of the righteous remnant, but he's not going to change his definition of righteousness or wickedness to spare a country, okay? So really, the only premise I have to approach God with right now when I look at what America has become is this. God, it's not all of us. Lord, let me remind you, there's still a remnant. I mean, Lord, I know that we don't get any press time, and I know that they've taken over the movies and the music and the media, but that don't mean that everybody's that way. And Lord, we're not just standing here, we're raising our children to stand here and our grandchildren to stand here with us. And so listen, preacher, is there anything else you got? I don't have anything else. That's where America's at. That's what we're down to, is negotiating with God for some time. No, negotiating with God for some mercy based on this premise that the judge of the universe, the righteous judge of the universe, will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. And so that was the premise. That's it. Now, folks, that makes the word righteous pretty important here. And I want to share two aspects of that. First of all, so preacher, you know, we're going to kind of get to this, but how do we get the numbers up on that? Well, there's positional righteousness. And that is achieved by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. How about this? 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Him, by the way, for he, that's God the Father, hath made him, that's God the Son, to be sin for us. That's all of us. Who knew no sin. Now this is wild. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the minute I get saved, on my eternal record, all of my sin, all of my wickedness goes on Christ's account, and all of his righteousness goes on my account. And you know what, folks, the first step we take in presenting to God the argument for a righteous remnant is every single time we lead someone to Christ, every single time somebody gets saved, it gives God another reason not to destroy America. Right. Say, preacher, you're big on soul winning, Operation Occupation, running buses. Your church is excited about that. We give out gospel tracts. We share our testimony. We try to lead people to Christ. Why do you do that? Well, number one, it's the biblically correct thing to do. But can I say this? It's also the patriotic thing to do. We're trying to save a nation, okay? That's every single time somebody gets saved, we can make the argument to God, here is someone, another one that is positionally before you righteous because of what Jesus did. But folks, we cannot ignore the Bible teaching when it comes to the need for practical righteousness also. Because yes, God will not determine our eternal destination based on our failings as a Christian, but let me read this verse to you. He says about Abraham, for I know him that he, verse 19, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. You know, the things that were true about Abraham, we're going to find out. We won't get there, but if you read ahead, you'll find out was not true about Lot. He wasn't commanding his children after him. Come on, think about it. He wasn't keeping the way of the Lord. He wasn't standing for justice and judgment. You know what? He wanted all of the benefits that came with worldliness, and he sold his family out, sold his testimony out, and sold his morals out so that he could sit in the gate and be a big shot. And think about that. Practical righteousness, folks, listen to me. Listen, that's why I said, it's if there's ever a time to get clean, it's time now. You know, when you turn your back on habitual sin and you stop making excuses for doing the wrong thing and you live to the best of your ability with the help of God a righteous life, you're giving God another reason to spare this country, okay? But I want to say to every Christian, some of them aren't here and some of them hopefully would listen, although they probably won't. But you know, if they ever happen to stumble on this, every Christian who used to stand for righteousness and live a righteous, godly life, that's turned their back on that and just gone into worldliness. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And folks, come on, it's not just Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Talk to any preacher. This isn't anything personal. This is national. But there is in the last days, there is a turning away, a falling away. And people that 10, 15 years ago stood for right and did right and lived right, if you go on their Facebook page, you couldn't tell the difference between them and some lost person that never knew Jesus as their Savior. What are we doing? You realize when you make those decisions, you're helping to write and sign the death warrant of a nation.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Okay? What about your children and your grandchildren? Okay? And so think about those things. Abraham based his argument for mercy instead of judgment on one premise, the presence of a righteous remnant. Number five, I'm going to give you this good news. God would rather extend mercy than send judgment. You know what this whole negotiation thing proves to me? God would rather. He'd rather. He sent those two men to check things out, and if he was going to get the wrong report, he was going to blow two cities to kingdom come and everything, every other city that's down in that valley. And by the way, we think about 50,000 people. You know, they found Sodom and Gomorrah. They can judge the proximate size and population of just those two towns. Not near as much as what I've heard in times past when men were speculating. You know, but maybe 50,000 in the whole valley. Some people say that Sodom itself probably only had 1,200 to 1,500 people. You better think about that. Based on archaeological digs right now. Well, all of a sudden 10 is a lot better, bigger percentage than when everybody would walk around saying, well, Sodom and Gomorrah had 1,000,000 people. It didn't have 1,000,000 people. Read up on it. Study it. You know, and God does demand that there is a strong remnant. a strong number. Start punching the numbers. I don't know, was he basing it on 50,000? Was he basing it on 5,000? Maybe Sodom and Gomorrah both together might have been 5,000. Most people think below that now. Think about that. And God says, okay, I'll do 10. Now, by the way, that's still a lot of mercy.
Right.
You know, well, think about that. If it was 5,000, let me just kind of break the numbers down. If it was 50,000, if he based it on the 50,000, he would only ask him for two righteous people for every 10,000. Okay, but if you read the story, he's talking about a specific city. If it was only 1,500, we better roll up our sleeves and get busy. Now, by the way, 10's still a pretty small number. But we're talking about now, instead of two people for every 10,000, now we're talking about two people for every 1,000. By the way, let's just take Greene County, Indiana. Okay, 33,000 people. You know what that is? That's 66 people. Oh, well, we've got this many go to this church, and this many go to this church, and this many get to this church. Yeah, and how many of them's playing a game? And how many of them really, really strive on a daily basis to live a holy life? How many can it be said of them the same things that were said about Abraham? How many of the people that go to church have already, they allow their kids to go the way of the devil? They're allowing the kids to be involved in the world? They're not standing for the things we used to stand for. They've compromised. They've become worldly. Like I said, I'm telling you something. You meet a Christian in a church and you think you figured them out. Let me tell you, Facebook has done anything. It's pulled the lid off of it. Okay? And you know, what we have is, come on, I'm just telling you, what we have is an epidemic in America of people showing up to church, pretending to be one thing and spending the other 6 days not being much different than anybody that's lost. Okay, so I don't know what God counts and doesn't count. I don't know. Some of this stuff, hey, that's God's the righteous judge of the universe. Jerry Ross said, I'm not saying I can figure it all out. And I don't even know if you can say you come to a number. But is there 66 people interceding like Abraham interceded in one county in Indiana? Are there 66 people? I didn't say perfect. Nobody's perfect. But they're trying to live a righteous life before God. There are 66 people that are bringing their kids to church, but not just bringing them to church, at home training them in the and raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Folks, listen, this stuff that we've been preaching now at this, you know, on this little piece of property for 48 years, and many, many people and our Christians, so-called Christians, hold a church like ours in disdain. Say whatever you want to. We're trying to save a nation. And if we compromise and become worldly and wicked and start just playing the church thing, you know what we're doing? We're helping to sign the death warrant of a nation. I've got to quit because of time, but we'll maybe pick this up next week. I'm going to finish this up, and then I'm going to go into some more specific things. But, folks, we're going to take the 3 Sundays before the election, we're going to try to blow the trumpet on some things and help us, because, folks, we are at a crossroad right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the time together. Oh, Lord, convict us. If my people, that's where it's got to start. If my people, Lord, I pray that you'll use this story of Abraham to motivate all of us, Lord, to pray the prayer, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.